Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, as we start summer 2018 on a beautiful Friday in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sean Carey, Steve in a second. You will hear from him in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Friday edition of our show, always brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Lots of specials, because you need the beverages here to start summer 2018. And going on now through Tuesday, you can get Keystone Light 18-pack cans, just $8.95. Mike's Hard Lemonades, 12-packs, $14.95. Goose Island 15-pack cans, $14.95. Seagram's Coolers, lots of great flavors, 12-packs, $10.37. And Labatt Lime and Labatt Light, 24-pack, 16-ounce cans, $16.98. Of course, if you need to get multiple cases, grab a dolly, and easy in, easy out, right to the car. Snacks, on top of the beverages, of course. Sodas, water, fresh roasted peanuts in the pickle bar, all for you. And if you need a couple of bags of ice for your outdoor barbecue, got them right by the door as well. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. We've had a great week of shows. So with a little downtime here over the holiday weekend, you can catch up. And we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast, available on both the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, Google Play. We were definitely packed and stacked on Wednesday's show, getting a chance to talk with Mark Wogenrich of the Allentown Morning Call about the health situation that Matt Millen has been going through. You can learn more about that. Everything that's been going on lately at Michigan State, the minority owner of the Steelers, soon to become, actually he already is, the new owner of the Carolina Panthers. It's great to hear from Jordan Rodrigue earlier this week about that, since she is now down covering the Panthers in Carolina with the Charlotte Observer. And that was just on Wednesday's show alone. So you have access to that by subscribing to our Steve Jones Show podcast. Just type in Steve Jones Show in the search bar on Apple Podcast, iTunes, and Google Play. And always on our website, stevejonesshow.com, go to either podcast or podcast archive. You will find 3 months of shows there at your disposal. So a lot to go back and listen to over the holiday weekend. We encourage you to do so. All right, so we'll be talking a lot of football today. We're football heavy going into summer 2018. Not that there's anything wrong with that. The former head of the Senior Bowl, Phil Savage, who is also on the mic with Eli Gold, the terrific color analyst for the Alabama Crimson Tide Radio Network. Phil scheduled to join us at 3:35. Also looking forward to some outstanding NFL conversation with Kim Jones from NFL Network and Sports Radio 101.9 and Sports Radio 66 WFAN in New York. Kim's set to join us at 4:06. She's locked and ready to go there. And, of course, we never finish the week until we get a visit from Steve's brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it's the KJ Hour next hour. Kim Jones, Kevin Jones.
Yeah, and we got Phil Savage, too.
We certainly do. Yes, looking forward to what a great run Phil had as leading the Senior Bowl. And, of course, always does an outstanding job with Eli on the radio calls for the Crimson Tide, too.
Well, he's about to start a new venture here. wasn't specific with me about it. I said, come, Phil, we've been friends for years, man. Right? And he's, but it sounds like he's pretty excited about it. We've also had a listener complaint, which I think needs to be addressed.
Oh, please do. Okay.
Yeah. Evidently, and I guess this falls on both of us, but we've been told by this listener that essentially that we blew a huge opportunity by having four guests on the show Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt no remorse.
I've slept pretty good.
We did not get anybody on from the Indianapolis 500 this week.
No.
We received a listener complaint.
With the emphasis on singular.
We received a listener complaint. All right. Now, I don't think it takes a genius in the audience to understand which listener that might be. And I would like to point out that is the only complaint we received about it all week.
Now, we do get this show worldwide. I mean, lots of people. Anyone in Indiana can check out this show, of course, when they subscribe to the Steve Jones Show podcast. But if we were home-based in Indiana, sure, we would have lots more coverage of the Indy 500. That's a no-brainer. Absolutely.
I was listening to an interview today, actually, with Mario Andretti. Which is always interesting because he's still the biggest star there and he hasn't raced in decades. And he said, look, if there's one race on the planet you absolutely have to win, it's this race. And, I mean, he's right about that. I mean, if you're the Indy 500 champion, wow, you're the Indy 500 champion. But let's be honest about it. The when they split years ago between IRL and CART, they ruined it. And it hasn't been the same since.
Yeah, and the former producer of this show would be complete 100% in agreement with you.
So, with him in mind, the one person who made the complaint...
Oh, is that him?
You and I have both vowed that we're going to pick Will Power to win.
Can't wait till Sunday.
Now, why have we selected Will Power to win? Because the suit... The person who complained. The suit can't stand him. I mean, I'm talking, you want to talk bitter?
Oh, Captain Bitter.
He cannot stand him. Now, why is it doesn't he like Will Power?
Well, I just think there's like an arrogance of him where, you know, when it comes to responsibility on the track, he doesn't take responsibility. That's Kevin's main concern. Kevin the suit, that is.
That he doesn't take responsibility?
Yeah, in case there's like if he's involved in any dust-ups or anything like that.
Well, shouldn't that apply to digital media?
You would think.
taking responsibility. What are you laughing at? How was the get-together today at 2 o'clock over Front Street Station?
Oh, quite good. They're still down there. We got things warmed up on a beautiful Friday, so yeah. They're all kind of... Colleagues are, you know, trickling in one at a time to enjoy the afternoon down there. So, yeah, we got down there for a... fast one beverage liquid lunch, and we're good to go.
But they're all there.
Most.
Who didn't make it?
I think there were a couple of girls. Well, obviously, we still have a couple of girls here in the office that are still holding down the fort before they, you know, they close the office at 5. But
people know. Okay.
Yeah.
So the head of digital media was there.
He is there at the moment, enjoying an apple martini. Which shocked me. I said, "Hey, you know, why don't you be like me and Kyle Alexander? You know, be one of us over here. You know, one of the people over here, and just have a brewski." You know.
Well, you know what's interesting?
He's blending in with the sales staff. Pretty much all the sales staff, they were enjoying they had a great special on martinis today.
Well, you know what's really interesting about that? Is that since he's been there, sales have been exactly the same in digital media as they were the rest of the week. That's not funny.
That's all right. Roger's down there too. Roger's heads on the swivel. So.
Excuse me. Roger's worked his entire life to take an afternoon off. Okay? Roger's accomplished something. All right. I mean, Roger never took sabbaticals and things like that when it meant his personal convenience. He worked. He should be down there.
Right.
You should be down there. You work.
Yeah.
Right?
Down there for a little while. No problem.
Yeah.
All good.
I received nothing. I might have gone. Then the show live down there would have been great.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we found out about it almost at about this time yesterday afternoon. It was kind of a very last-second thing we put together, so.
Why? Because they found out they didn't have enough apples for the martinis?
Well, I know you didn't have anything planned for the weekend, but I figured, you know, it needed a little more time to get it planned in order for you to maybe come down and do the show from down here, which would have been amazing. Would have been awesome, as always, to see you.
Battle of Trains.
Yeah, there was one there. I thought it. Right before I left, one came by. One came by, and I automatically thought of you. You know, you always get the over-unders to how many trains are going to swing by while Steve's speaking to the crowd.
That is just too funny. That's too funny. When that happens, too funny. I sit there and I look at it and go, here comes another train. And what got me last year, and we got a big show today. I mean, really, just hang with us here. Phil Savage, next half hour. Now, we're going to talk about underclassmen going to the draft. And we're going to talk about combines with Kim Jones, then my brother. All right. Now, this last year, it was like watching a pilot do stop-and-go landings. Remember that one train car kept going back and forth. Like, what are you doing, practicing? What are you practicing? I swear he was practicing. That's all he was doing was practicing. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. And he kept going back and forth. I'm like, ay, ay, ay. So an apple martini.
Yeah, shocked me. I was very surprised.
He didn't have his pinky finger out as he drank it, did he?
Nah, he was just starting to enjoy that right as I was leaving.
He was just starting to slur his words. Great, fabulous. Yes, that's what we needed to hear. Yeah.
Oh, I'll swing back down and check at like 5:20. We'll see if he's.
Oh, good. You'll have to text me. I mean, Jamie works hard. Now, Jamie had to be there, right?
Yes, she's absolutely there.
Jamie works hard all the time. She deserves a great Friday. Roger, his whole life's been invested in this.
Got the whole crew down there. Mertzi's down there. Tom Morgan.
Mertzi's down there. Mertzi's invested his whole life working. Morgan, his whole life working. You know, and then they're the people that are like Entourage's hangers on. Trying to think who that would be. You missed a golden opportunity Wednesday,
Mr. Apple Martini.
We missed a golden opportunity on Wednesday. Golden.
I'm over it.
Yeah. over it. I was never on it. I said, what are you talking about? I said, Wednesday show was like a gold standard show. What are you talking about? Today's going to fall into that category, too. You're really going to love, especially the next hour of the show, I think. Brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. It is Memorial Day weekend. Stock up. Almost all of you have a three-day weekend, and it's going to be warm. Come back. More in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us, Phil Savage, in the next half hour. And Kim Jones in the 406 half hour. My brother, final half hour today. Golden State lost again last night. And, I'll tell you about Golden, what's interesting about Golden State. Is you watch the last two games and you think about how they played the last three, 4 years, rarely are they in a situation because they blow people out, which is a good thing. Blowing people out is a good thing. But rarely are they in a situation where they have to execute a play to tie or win. They're just not in that position very often.
Especially the last two games, Steve. And I'm kind of wondering, okay, just give the ball to 35. You know, it's like, I mean, we talk about Kevin Durant being at what, at least a top five, top six player in all of basketball. And it's like, that'd be the one time you'd want him to have the ball.
Yeah. Well, they don't look like they know what they're doing at the end. They were totally confused at the end of game four. They didn't even get a shot up last night. And it's surprising to see, with all the talent they have, how they have not been able to get a quality shot up or even a shot in the last two games in that situation. James Harden didn't play well last night offensively. Chris Paul did, but Chris Paul is out of game six. He will not play game six. Celtics and Cavaliers tonight. To me, it's all about the first quarter. If the Celtics put themselves in the neighborhood in the first quarter, they will win the game in the series tonight. All right, Brewers Outlet Specials now through Tuesday. Keystone Light, 18-pack cans, $8.95. Mike's Hard Lemonade, 12-packs, $14.95. Goose Island, 15-pack cans, $14.95. Seagram's Coolers, 12-packs, $10.37. And Labatt Light and Lime, 24-pack, 16-ounce cans, just $16.98. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Great to have you with us today in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, here's the bottom line. We're seeing more and more players in football, and you're also seeing it in basketball, too, that are making a mistake of leaving school early and then not getting drafted. Forget about being drafted in rounds 4 through 7. You had 40 players leave early from college
in the NFL draft that didn't get drafted. 41-3. Phil Savage and I will talk about that in a moment.
Jump into savings and stop by the Beverage Supermarket Brewers Outlet Sunbury for incredible savings. Keystone Light 18 packs only $8.95. That's only $2.99 a six pack. Mike's Lemonade 12 pack bottles $14.95. Seagram's Coolers 12 pack cans, wow, just $10.37. Brewers always has a large beverage and craft beer selection. Teas, snacks, fresh roasted peanuts, and of course the pickle bar. Why go anywhere else? So start your parties with Keystone for under 50 cents a can and check out the Brewers Outlet Facebook for more specials. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, we will have a show Memorial Day. In fact, Sean, why don't you stop by? We'll sit out on the deck on Monday.
That sounds awesome.
All right. And you know what? How about we have some apple martinis? We, too, can act like we're extras from the show Sex and the City.
That's the first thing I thought of when he ordered that apple martini. It's like, what are you doing? You're channeling your inner Carrie Bradshaw? What are you doing over there? It's like, man. We lost him.
That's okay. He's so close to another sabbatical. It's like, okay. Yeah, some people throw the heavy innings. Other people are looking for the next sabbatical. I mean, it's unbelievable. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket imports domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, and it is the Memorial Day weekend, which means you need to stock up. How about some specials? That may entice you between now and Tuesday. Keystone Light, 18-pack cans, just $8.95. Mike's Hard Lemonade, 12 packs, well, not bad either, just $14.95. Goose Island, 15-pack cans, $14.95. Seagram's Coolers, 12 packs, $10.37. And Labatt Light and Lime, 24-pack, 16-ounce cans, $16.98. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, is unquestionably second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Helmsworth. I understand Tom was also down at the Front Street station today, wasn't he?
Mr. Morgan? Sure was.
Yeah. All right, so 1922, this date in sports history, Babe Ruth was suspended for one day and $200 for throwing dirt at an umpire. 1935, Babe Ruth hit number 712, number 713, and number 714. Three home runs in a game for the Boston Braves against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Sitting in the stands that day with his father was a 9-year-old named Fran Fischer. Same day, Jesse Owens tied the world record in the 100-yard dash, 9.4 seconds. He broke three other world track records. And remember, he did that on a cinder track. That was not the tracks of today. Early Wynn won his 300th game this date, 1963. Let's see. Al Unser Jr. became the first Indy 500 winner to be disqualified, 1981. Calgary Flames won their first NHL Stanley Cup. They beat Montreal. The Twins retired Kirby Puckett's number 34 this day, 1997. That's this day in sports history. Without question, one of the best, and really does a great job always, and we love every opportunity we have to get him on the show as one of the guests. That's Phil Savage. Phil, welcome back. Great to hear you.
Well, thanks, Steve. I hope you're doing well. And, man, we're in that in-between zone, spring practice and summer camp.
Yeah, we sure are. I want to ask you, this is we've just gone through a draft where, of course, underclassmen, and there were 40 of them that did not get picked, and then there are some that got picked in rounds 4 through 7.
Does the NFL or an all-star game need to start considering the possibility of an underclassman combine day in January to help people make decisions?
Yeah, Steve, I actually posted a blog on my website right after the draft, and I termed it the lost round at PhilSavageFootball.com, and just talked about those 106 juniors that declared, 70 of which were drafted. However, only 41 of those were drafted in the first three rounds. So really, those are the guys that have the best chance of actually putting an NFL career together. Not to say that a late-round pick or free agent can't make it, but it is an uphill climb. And I think that, you know, the overall education, the overall communication has to start much earlier. I think it has to start from the day a player shows up at an Alabama or a Penn State or a Florida State, because the truth of the matter is that this is not good for college football, and it's not good for professional football either, because when, you know, 36 juniors go undrafted, they're likely going to be on the street by this time next year with no place to go. And without a degree in hand, it's just very problematic in a lot of different directions. People will point out, well, you know, the rookie salary cap, the rookie salary pool doesn't allow these guys to make as much money. They need to get to that second contract. Well, you better make the team to get that first contract before you start thinking about a second contract. And that's the piece of the puzzle that's never referenced for all these guys that come out early and end up not making.
Well, I think, Phil, there's a bottom line. I mean, you've been around for a while. I've been around for a while. You and I think both know that if you're a top three round pick, you almost have to play your way out of the league. If you're a 4-7 or a free agent, you really have to play your way into the league to get those second contracts. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's definitely a dividing line, so to speak. I mean, most organizations just politically are not going to admit a mistake that they made in the first three rounds, at least for a couple of years. Now, we saw Christian Hackenberg, you know, taken by the Jets a couple years ago, and now they've traded him off to the Oakland Raiders. But that's, you know, a rare circumstance that happens like that. But, you know, to go back to your original question, is there a way to broker a situation where sort of the juniors that we're considering or are considering coming out, is there a way to get in front of them and for them to get in front of the league people? Either, you know, maybe right now at the end of May, early June, prior to their junior year, or perhaps could it be in January before the declaration date, so that they could get the accurate information, not word off the street, not word from somebody that's trying to pad their own pocket, but from the people in the NFL to say, look, you know what, you should come out. You're going to be a first-round selection. Or, you know, right now, you're probably at least a late option for a team or two, perhaps even an undrafted free agent. Here are the three things that you need to work on and get back to your college team and play. And the other piece of the puzzle, and look, it's complicated because of the calendar, but we see college basketball players declare for the draft, check and see where they're really going to go by going to the combine, and then ultimately, if they're not rated high enough, they have the opportunity to come back and go to school. It's difficult to try to figure that out as it pertains to college football, but I do think that there should be an effort in trying to accomplish something very similar in football.
Yeah, the calendar part's the critical part, and I know you had been, of course, with the Reese's Senior Bowl. That's in late January. That's still before the late signing period. Is that the kind of timing that we need to see for a potential underclassman combine so they can get better info?
Well, I think that I've advocated sort of a junior showcase for probably at least a year now in terms of allowing the league to get verified heights and weights, not necessarily a 40 time, but heights and weights, and have a chance to interview these players and just really cut to the chase and say, hey, this is where we think that we have you rated. This is what we think of you as a player. Here are some areas that you need to improve upon. These are the reasons why we think you shouldn't come out versus the reasons that, you know, you maybe think you should come out. And the declaration date has typically been in the middle of January, which has been like the week before the festivities, say, at the Reese's Senior Bowl. Maybe that date needs to be pushed a little bit later. Maybe there is a way to manipulate the calendar to make it more favorable for someone to, you know, really make a decision and go. Because, as you know, say when Penn State goes to a bowl game, I mean, the agents are all over that hotel.
Oh, yeah.
As they're trying to talk to players and secure their services as soon as that game ends. And part of the reason for that is because of the declaration date in the middle of January. Maybe there's a way that it could be later. Maybe that grace period window, instead of it being 72 hours, could be, you know, extended longer. But I do think that there's some things that the powers to be at both the professional and the college levels could do together to make it a better circumstance for everybody involved.
James Franklin's done a great job of getting as much information to his players as possible. So far, whenever a Penn State player has declared, it's either been a first or a second round pick. So now I want to go now to one that you would be really familiar with, Alabama. I don't recall anybody making what I would call a, quote, mistake leaving Alabama early. That whenever they've gone and they've been picked in a good spot. What is it about what Nick Saban does, to give us an example, and maybe his connections that maybe allows for better decisions to be made by players?
Well, they definitely spend time in doing research and trying to get the best ranking available the best evaluation available to then sit down and talk to their players. Typically, it's after the Iron Bowl or perhaps the SEC Championship game if they're in that. And they say, hey, here's the situation. One of the keys for not only Alabama but for any of these schools, and Penn State would be included, is if you can get one or two or three or four seniors to come back and play one more year and their draft stock actually elevate, as it did in the case of Mark Barron, was a safety at Alabama.
Oh, I remember.
A linebacker,
yep,
for the Rams. But he thought about coming out. He had a shoulder surgery, and he was being told he was going to be a second or third round pick. He came back. He ended up going seventh overall. So there was a huge difference in money for him. And he, to me, was one of the key players, you know, 6-7 years ago that then made it more inviting for the guys coming up behind him to stay in school and play one more year. The other thing where education can help is all the different insurance packages that can be paid for by the school, so that a player doesn't, you know, he's not at risk in terms of losing money if he does go back to school and gets hurt. You know, there are all sorts of different levels of insurances that are out there, and they've gotten very creative in that to bridge the gap for these kids. But I'm not sure that everybody understands and knows how all that works. So that's a piece of it. But interestingly enough, and I'll stop here in just a second, but LSU has lost 32 juniors in the last 5 years or so,
and they haven't all been drafted either.
Oh my gosh, no! And as a contrast, the next highest is Florida State at 24, and then Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State are tied at 20 over this same time frame. And so, one of the problems at LSU is that there's been a little bit of a culture by their prospects to come in as a mid-year enrollee and say, you know what, I'm punching the clock and I'm out of here in 3 years no matter what. And this past draft, they had several guys that were not drafted at all, that if they go back for their final year, they clearly would have been at least in the fourth or fifth round and had a better chance to make it than they do right now.
And may have walked out with a degree.
And if not a degree, at least close enough that they only need one off season to go back and get it.
Exactly. Now here's the tricky one. The Rice Commission for College Basketball, one of the recommendations happen to be if you are not drafted. Obviously, coaches are setting rosters. Not everybody's at 85. That's why you see walk-ons getting scholarships and so forth later on to get to 85. Phil, is that something college football could think about, where if you're not drafted and you're an underclassman, you can go back to school?
I tell you, I'd love to see something happen down that particular path. Could it be done through a roster exemption? You know, in other words, where there's two or three scholarships available for a player that you know, declares, doesn't get drafted, and wants to come back. That would be a thought. Another idea in that regard, or at least tied to it, Steve, is, as you know, look, if Saquon Barkley had come back to play one more year at Penn State, how much practice time would he have really gotten during spring ball?
Right.
Very little. And so the idea that, you know, well, these guys missed spring and it puts them behind, all that, I mean, if the guy's already an established starter, I can't imagine that if he all of a sudden showed back up May 1st as an undrafted player and back on his college team, that college coach wouldn't figure out a way to utilize him the next year. So, you know, I think it's a little bit overblown that they, you know, they missed too much time. It does make it, again, it's not as clean calendar-wise as it is for basketball.
That's right.
But I do think that there should be some sort of option. Look, for those 36 players that didn't get drafted, they should be somewhere in college football. Maybe it's not with the original school. Maybe they have to go back and play FCS-level football or something of that nature. But they should be somewhere playing this fall wearing a college uniform, in my estimation.
Obviously, you've done a lot of work with college football, and obviously you've done a lot of work with the NFL. We know that, you know, in college, so many coaches, James Franklin and Nick Saban, athletic directors, really do care. I mean, they care very much. So here's the other part. How much does the NFL care about this part of it?
I think the nuts and bolts of the NFL, rank-and-file people, the scouts that are going into the schools, the people that are really engaged in the game, the coaches that are working with these guys that are nowhere close to being ready in terms of the resume. Think about this, Steve. I mean, 20 years ago, you could have 2 days during high school football. You could have, you know, 15, 20 practices in spring practice during college, then 2 days during the fall camp. The amount of repetitions and training that a player got in those days as compared to what he actually gets now coming into the NFL is night and day. Right. And so a lot of these kids just simply are not ready for the NFL. And so with that being said, I think that the scouts and the coaches in the NFL absolutely are very concerned about it. In terms of the amount of money and ownership and television and all of the big things that really drive professional football, I'm not sure that they really care. I think they care in words, but maybe not necessarily in deeds or action. Because, look, this has been something, the most juniors that had ever come out was 56 prior to 2012.
Right.
Now the last 3 years, 297 juniors have declared for the draft. That's 99 a year. It's a trend that's not going to go the other way unless somebody steps in and tries to do something about it.
When they get my final question to you, Phil, and then I'll let you go. Thanks so much for the time. This has been fascinating. Is that there, of course, is the group that gives you your draft grade, first round, second round, or go back to school. Those are the three options. You and I both know, look, they have a lot of pride. They want to be right. I mean, they don't want to, you know, sit there and just be haphazard and be wrong. Their reputations are on the line. I know kids get stubborn about certain things, but why in your gauge, in talking to them, why are some of them so stubborn about who they are and don't believe the part about go back to school?
I think part of it is just the fact that typically these kids have been the best players on their team in you know, elementary school, youth football, through middle school, high school. And now, you know, they've been one of the better players on their college team. And now all of a sudden they're told, hey, you need to go back to school, when everybody in their town, a lot of people at their college have said, oh, man, he's a surefire first rounder, when in fact that may not be the reality at all. So I think there's probably a pride factor in it. And, you know, just it's a dose of reality when you've been one of the best people on your team your whole life, and all of a sudden you're told that, well, you're not actually a first rounder.
Right.
That's a tough pill to swallow. So, you know, again, I think just the education of parents and people connected to these kids is something that's really lacking. I mean, I can tell you from my experience down here at the Reese's Senior Bowl through the years, I was stunned often on the Friday and Saturday of our game week, where I would visit with parents and families, and they would actually say to me and my staff, wow, this has been such an education for us in terms of the media, the money, and the community service that's going to be required in terms of our young son or nephew trying to handle these things. We've never really thought of it in those regards. And so I know that's an avenue out there that needs to be expanded, so that more people truly have a real grip on how all of this works.
Phil, how can people follow you and stay in touch with you?
Well, of course, my website is philsavagefootball.com. My Twitter handle has been Senior Bowl Phil, but that will be changing, of course, after I departed a few weeks ago after 6 years. But you can find me at Phil Savage. It will be my new handle. It should be up here in the next few days. And, you know, continuing to do Bama football and Sirius XM radio. I've got a new opportunity on the horizon that has not been revealed publicly yet. So I'm excited about the future and staying connected to really both all levels of the sport. I love the game, and I want to see it grow and prosper, and so that people can benefit it like I have personally over the years.
Well, very few are better at it. Thanks so much, Phil. It's always great. I'll pass along my best to Jack for you, and we will talk soon, I hope. And best of luck with the new venture. No one deserves it more.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Steve. I always enjoy the time. Thank you.
Phil Savage, without question, one of the best. I thought that was an educational half hour. Kim Jones, next half hour, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.